Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast.
Good morning. Good to be here with you all this morning. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you today about life on the disciples' path. And as Dr. Beckett mentioned earlier in the service, we are unrolling a new mission statement, and we've been looking at it for the last 3 weeks. And it's a really cool thing. This is not something that the pastors and the staff have gotten together and said, hey, we want to do something new. We want to do something fresh and exciting. This is just us understanding that God is at work in a special way in the lives of the people at Salem and the church as a whole. And we want to come alongside God and acknowledge that and see that, yes, God, you are doing something great and awesome, and we want to be a part of that. And so the proposed mission statement says, we will glorify God, making disciples who pursue Jesus, and we will share his story. And so if you look at that, there's three main points to that, three main parts. The first is, at Salem, as the people of God, we want to glorify God with our lives. And last week, Pastor Nick talked about that, unpacked that, what it looks like for us to glorify God as a church and as individuals. Next week, Dr. Beckett's going to wrap up this short little series by talking about how our church and how we as individuals can share in the story, the great news of our good King Jesus that we have in the gospel. And this week, I get to talk with you guys about making disciples and what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus and what it looks like when our church is actively involved in making disciples. And so I'm excited about that, and the passage that we're going to look at is found in Matthew chapter 7, just two verses, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And there have been a lot, you guys have probably heard a ton of really awesome sermons, a lot of great preaching in your life. You get to hear it every single week at this church when Dr. Beckett preaches. You listen to sermons online, you listen to celebrity preachers and all that. There are some great messages of God, but this sermon that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, this is hands down the greatest sermon ever preached. It's preached by our good King Jesus, and this sermon is about discipleship. The whole point of Matthew 5 through 7 is to talk about what it looks like to live for the kingdom of God and what it looks like when we die to ourselves and live for Jesus, what it looks like when we're truly following God. And so chapter 5 and chapter 6, Jesus unpacks what that looks like, talking about things like lust and money and just all sorts of stuff, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And then as he winds down in chapter 7, he gives us this short little couple of verses in Matthew chapter 7 through 13. It says this, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So after all these things that he says about what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, he says there's two ways that you can go. You've heard all of what I've said, whether you can live for this world or live for the kingdom. And he says at the end of the day, you got to make a choice. Are you going to enter through this wide gate, this gate that everybody else is going through, that they're going through because it's easy? Or are you going to enter through this narrow gate? This narrow gate is difficult. The wide gate, it leads to destruction, but this narrow gate, it leads to life. And so there's two paths that we can go down. One is the path of the world, that wide gate, the path that everybody's going down. And the other path is the path of a disciple of Jesus. It's a narrow gate. And it's a narrow gate that leads to that narrow path, but that path is full of life. And so today we're going to look at what it looks like to live life on the path of a disciple. What it looks like to live life after you've walked through that narrow gate. And before we really look at that, I want to kind of define a term. And the term I want to define is disciple, because if I were to ask all of you in here what is a disciple, we'd all have different answers, and they'd all be close to right and right and just saying it differently. So just for the sake of the conversation we're having this morning, I just want to just put this out there. A disciple, simply put, is a follower. A disciple is a follower. And everybody's a disciple of something. You're either a disciple of the world or you're a disciple of Jesus. But a disciple is not someone who just follows just for the sake of following, like your dog, like wanting like a like something to eat. You know, your dog just chases you around and follows after you. The point of following, the point of a disciple following, is so that you look like the thing that you are following. And so Jesus says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when they are fully trained, will look like his teacher. So the point of being a disciple is to follow, yes, but it's to follow so that you are transformed into the image of what you are following, right? And you can see this a lot in the world, because people sometimes, they chase after other things outside of God. They chase after money, for instance, right? They think the most important thing about life is to have as much stuff as possible and to have as much money as possible so that they can retire young and relax on a beach for the rest of their life. And a lot of times what happens when people are chasing after money is their heart starts to change. They start to become greedy. They start to think they don't have enough. And they start to look like the thing that they're chasing. Some people pursue after their family, and the most important thing to them in their whole life is their family. And family is a really great thing when it's put in the proper place. But sometimes we elevate our family to the point of an idol, and we pursue after that, and we want our family to be everything that the world wants families to be, right? Which really isn't a good thing. And so our hearts become full of fear, and we get anxious over our family, and we worry about our family. We want our family to look like everybody else, so we play that comparison game, right? Because what we chase after, what we pursue, what we follow, that's what we end up looking like. And so I want us, and we want Salem as individuals and the church to pursue after Jesus. Because as we are pursuing after Jesus, we start to look like him. That is the point of being a disciple. When we pursue after Jesus, we actually have a life that is righteous. And so practically speaking, a disciple is someone who has put their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. They understand the good thing that Jesus has done for us on the cross, and they put their faith in him. They know that he's paid the penalty, and they can have life. A disciple is someone who's becoming like Jesus in every aspect of their life. Someone whose actions and attitudes and thoughts, desires, purposes, loves, they line up to the things of God. They line up to the things of Jesus. A disciple is someone who is actively involved in the mission that Jesus has given us. And so if you look at that list, those three things, the first one has put their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's Jesus opening up that narrow gate and you walking through. It's nothing that you can do to enter in by that narrow gate. It is what Jesus has done on the cross. It's by grace that you have been saved, not by works, right? And so Jesus opens up that gate and he says, come on through. Put your faith in me. That's what that first one is. But the next two are life on the path of the disciple. It's this process of becoming more like Jesus. It's this idea of following the mission that God has given us. And that's what life on the path of a disciple looks like. It looks like someone who's becoming like him because they're joyfully obeying him. It looks like someone who is actively involved in the mission that Jesus has given you. And so based on that definition, the question I have for you is, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you living on that path of a disciple? Are you truly following him? Are you truly becoming like him? Are your thoughts his thoughts? Are your thoughts your thoughts? Do you base your actions on what Jesus wants you to do or what you want to do yourself? And so today we're going to look at three things from Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. And those three things are, one, this path of the disciple, it's difficult. And I'm going to ask a question. If it's difficult, how do we stay on that path? The second thing from Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 is the path is different. And because the path is different, the question I want to ask is, what does life on the path look like? And the third thing is, the path is worth it. And the question I want to ask is, why stay on the path? And before we go, there's some painter's tape on the bottom of my shoe. Pastor Olds, this is yours. I'm just going to put it right. You don't have to. No, you're good. Sorry if that was important for a mark or something. Is that where Daniel's supposed to stand? Okay. No, he's not standing there now. All right. So let's get going. One, the path of the disciple is difficult. I know that because that's what Jesus says. He says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard. Okay? That means living a life as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, it can be difficult. It can be difficult, and that's okay. So the question I want to ask is, how do we stay on this disciple's path if it's so difficult? The first thing that we need to understand, and the first thing that we need to realize to help us stay on this path, is we actually have to know what we are pursuing. All right? So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field." So Jesus says, hey, what I have to offer you is so much better than anything that this world has to offer. And this man in this parable, he understood that. He found the goodness of Jesus. He understood how great our good King is. And because of that, he was willing to give up everything that he had in order to pursue after him. Because what we do in life is we chase after, we pursue the things that have value to us. We chase after and we pursue the things that have value to us. And so the reason why we get off that path of the disciple and we live on that path of the world, sometimes we're through that narrow gate, but sometimes, let's be honest, we can live like we're on that other path, you know? The reason why we do that is because the things of this world, they kind of catch our eye and we say, oh man, that is so much more precious than what God has in store for me. And so you students over there, sometimes you guys think, you know what the most important thing is? The thing that has the most value in my life is my grades. And I'm all for getting good grades. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all for the glory of God. But sometimes we let stuff like that derail us from our mission. Like even good things. And so what has value to you? What do you value more than anything in this world? This man in this parable valued Jesus more than anything else. And because of that, he was willing to stay on the path of a disciple. Until we realize what we have in Christ, we will always veer off to the things that look shiny but lose their luster. Until we value what we have in Christ, we'll put our hope in other things. Until we value what we have in Christ and understand what he's done for us on the cross and the life that we have through him, we're going to jump off that path. So the first thing we need to do in order to stay on the path of a disciple is to remember what we have in Jesus. The second thing is we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is an awesome verse. It says, "And we all with unveiled face, we're beholding the glory of God, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the other. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." And so what this verse is saying is we have a bunch of kids in here because kids are joining us today, and that's awesome. And some of you guys have just become Christians, right? And you are on the same path that your mom or dad is if they're believers in Jesus. And you're on the same path that your grandparent is if they're believers in Jesus. We're all on that same path of being transformed into the image of the Son from one degree of glory to the other. We're on different parts of that path, but we're all on that path. And we're all going to the same goal of Christ-likeness. And as we live our lives, we need to understand as we are being transformed and we're on this path of a disciple, we need to understand that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not anything that I do that is changing me. It's what God is doing in me. It's the Spirit changing me. And that's a beautiful thing. A lot of times we try and do things on our own, and when we try and do things on our own, that's when we kind of go off that path. When we do things our way, and we're not keeping in step with the Spirit. But when we keep in step with the Spirit, we stay on that path. The next thing is, to help us stay on this path, is we need to obey. And I understand that I just said that it's all about the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and now I'm saying you need to obey. But these things go hand in hand. The way that we obey is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us, and we obey him. It is God working in us and our effort together. Our kids' pastor, Wesley Scoggins, he calls this holy sweat. Right, where we are working out our salvation under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's a beautiful thing for us to be able to do. And so it is sure it is the Holy Spirit working in us, but it's also us putting some sort of effort and energy into it. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We do put effort into it. And that effort is only through the Holy Spirit. The interesting part about John chapter 14 is after Jesus says these things, like, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Like, right after that, that's when he promises the Holy Spirit. Like, you are only able to do that because he has sent a helper to help us. And so when we say, hey, I need to stay on this path of a disciple, I need to live for Jesus, this is the Holy Spirit working in our life and us working in concert with the Holy Spirit to serve and love him. We obey, we follow, we stay on the path. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper. And finally, the last way for us to stay on the path is that we surround ourselves with believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. So speaking the truth in love, we're all growing up towards Jesus. Me, you, everybody in this room, we're growing up towards Jesus. Into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I need encouragement. I need love. I need you guys to help me carry the burdens of life. I need your prayers. And you need that from us, and we need that from each other. When everybody in here, when everybody is being the part of the body of Christ, being the church that God has called them to be, that helps us stay on this path of a disciple. We need each other to push us along this path. When I was in high school, I met this girl named Megan, and she married me, and it was awesome, and it still is awesome. But if I wouldn't have met her, I don't know if I would be on the path right now, because God used her to keep me on this path. She spurred me on to love Jesus more. When we got married, we moved to Fuquay Varina. And we spent probably, I don't know, 6 months slowly getting out of church. Fair enough? And we would sit, we'll go every other week, and then, that every 3 weeks, and then once a month, and then every other month. And we were slowly slipping away from church. And about 6-7 months of this, I got a call from Mark Presley and Jake Rigsby, two people that go to this church. And they said, where you been? And they said, we need your help. Said, come and help in student ministry. And I was like, you're crazy. But I did. And if those people wouldn't have encouraged me and loved me and said, hey, I know that you guys are not on this path and we want to help you get back on this path. Come and help us and serve with us and love the Lord with us. If they didn't do that, I don't know where we'd be, just honestly. I mean, I think that God holds us in his hands, right? I believe that. I don't know where we'd be. It's because the people in the church have encouraged us and loved us and built us up. Think about your life. How many times have you wanted to jump off the path of a disciple and just say, forget it, I'm going to go live for the world? I bet that's happened to you sometimes. And sometimes you've kind of slipped away slowly, 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 like I did. And what has kept you on that path? God's grace, absolutely, but God's grace is manifested in the church and people encouraging you and pushing you towards loving God. A lot of you guys over here who are students, you are here because somebody invited you here in the youth group, right? Some of you guys are smiling right now. You know that because they're spurring you on along that path. A lot of people in this church right now, they would not be here if somebody hadn't reached out to them and said, hey, let's stay on this path together. And so are you encouraging those people around you? Are you encouraging those people around you? Are you letting other people encourage you? Because some people like to live the Christian life like they're some sort of lone wolf. But God set up the church so that we could love each other and spur each other on this path of a disciple. If God didn't want you to be a part of a church, he wouldn't have set up the church in the first place. And so if you're trying to do Christianity by yourself, you're going against God. You are an important part of this church. And people need you to help keep them on this path. Parents, you guys have an awesome opportunity to love your kid and to push them along this path. Kids, if your parent is a believer in Jesus, you should thank God for that. You should be super grateful for that. But you should also thank God and listen to them. They're not telling you to come home at a certain time of day, right? Just so they could be mean, grumpy, grouchy parents. They're not looking at your cell phone to see what you're looking at, to making sure that you're not filling your mind with filth and junk and stuff that will put you on another path. They're not doing that because they're mean and they're not like other parents. They're doing that because they love you and they want to keep you on that path. And they understand that the path of a disciple, it doesn't look like what the rest of the world says, but that path leads to life. And they care about your life. As in, they don't want you to face destruction. And so, kids, you need to listen to your parents if they're following the Lord and they're pursuing after Jesus. Because that's what they want from you more than anything else. You might think they care about your grades or they care about your sports. Nah, they care about your soul. And they're trying to keep you on that path. So don't do that alone. Another thing that we learn from Matthew chapter 7:14 is that the path of the disciple is different, right? I know that because Jesus says those who find it are few. And so what I want to do is just look at a couple of things that represent the life of someone on the path of a disciple. This is not an exhaustive list. This is not like, hey, let's check all these off and I'm doing this. If I'm doing this, then I'm a Christian. Nah, you're saved by grace. But these are marks of someone who is following after Jesus. And at Salem, we want you guys to be living this way. And there's a reason for that, and we'll get that in the end. So the first thing is, life on the path is biblically grounded. Someone who's actually on the path of a disciple has died to themselves and is living the way that God wants them to live. They are not basing their actions and their decisions based on their own thoughts or feelings or experiences. They are not saying, hey, the world is living this way, so that's what I'm going to do. They stand on God's word and God's word alone. They understand what it says, and they understand that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so our decisions are not based off opinion. Our decisions are based off what the word of God says, because he is God and you are not. And when we base our decisions on things that are contrary to scripture, we are saying that we are God and he is not. And that's not what we want to do. Life on the path is relationally healthy. I love this one. Because sometimes it's difficult to get along with people, right? But if you are truly pursuing after Jesus, the relationships that you have are glorifying to God. Your marriage is glorifying to God. Your friendships are glorifying to God. Your relationships with people that you don't get along with are glorifying to God. Like, that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live in harmony with one another. And so you don't have friends so that you can have a bunch of numbers on Instagram and Facebook. That's not the point of you having friends, so that you can pat yourself on the back and say, look how cool I am, I have friends. You have friends so that you can use those friendships to proclaim the goodness of the glory of God to the world around you. That's why you have friends. You have friends so that you can speak truth into their lives. You have friends so that you can explain the gospel to them. That's why you have friends. So that you can not walk on this path alone. You had to deal with difficult people sometimes in life. Let me tell you why you had to do that. So that you can love them. That's why. Not so that you can have a reason to blow off some steam and get angry. It's so that you can love them. The reason why you're married is not for your own personal satisfaction. The reason why you're married is so that you can proclaim the goodness of God to the world around you. The reason why you have kids is so you can paint a beautiful picture. Kids, students, you have such an awesome way of explaining to your friends who Jesus is by the way that you act towards your parents. Why do you listen to them? Why do you obey them? Why do you follow them? Because you're painting a picture of what it's like to follow your heavenly Father. You have relationships that you can proclaim the glory of God. So are you leveraging your relationships for the glory of God? Life on this path, the path of the disciple, is live generously. 1 Chronicles 29:14, King David, he's not able to build the temple, but he's able to give towards the building of the temple. And David says in his prayer right before he passes away and leaves everything to Solomon to finish the job, he says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. What David is saying is, everything that I have, all the money that I have, all the talent that I have, all the energy that I have, the job that I have, everything that I have comes from you, God. And all I'm doing is living my life in response to all that you've given us. It's all yours anyway, so just do with it whatever you want to. And if we're living our lives on the path of a disciple, that's how we live our lives. Our time, our money, our energy, our effort, it all goes to building up the kingdom of God. You even play volleyball for the glory of God. That's what you do. Because that's, it all comes from God. It comes from God. And so are you giving back to God what he has given to you? Someone on this path is generous in any area, in all areas of their lives, because you understand that it's not about you, it's about God. Life on this path is invested in ministry, invested in the local church, the ministry of the local church. You're serving the church because you believe in what the church stands for. You're loving the people of the church. You're discipling younger people in the church. You're discipling people your own age. You're loving people and encouraging them. You're part of the ministry of the church. You're helping in bed babies. You're helping in Awana. You're helping in kids ministry. You're helping in women's ministry, because we're all growing up into him who is the head, who is Christ, and we're doing this together. And we're involved in ministry together. And so we're involved in this local church. You're a part of a BFG. You're part of a small group. You're part of that so you can grow in your faith. You're also a part of ministry in a larger sense. You care about things like clean drinking water in Africa, and you care about things like homelessness in Panama City or in Moore Square. You care about these things because those things matter to God. And I understand that you're not going to solve the problem of homelessness in all the world. But what you're going to do while you're serving people and while you're loving people is you're painting a picture of this new heaven and new earth that Jesus is creating. And you're pointing to the fact that one day Jesus is coming back and there's not going to be any hunger, there's not going to be any thirst, there's not going to be any more pain, there's not going to be any more suffering. And as you go out and you serve the world around you in love, you're showing the world that there is something better and there is hope out there. That's what you're doing. You care about those things. You care about water and food and racial reconciliation. You care about these things because that's how it's going to be one day. And someone who is on the path of a disciple, they care about the things that God cares about. And finally, last one here, is they're engaged in evangelism. We know the good thing that we have in Jesus Christ, and because of that, we share the good news of our good King. We share it, and we share it, and we share it. We share it in our neighborhood. We share it in our job. We share it at our church. We share it in Panama. We share it in India. We care about the nations, and we care about the people next door. We are thinking locally, and we're thinking globally, and we're sharing locally. You can flip those either way. It don't matter. We are sharing all over the world. We care about the nations because Jesus cares about the nations. We care about the orphans in China. We care about the people in Panama. We care about the literally millions of people who are lost in India. And Salem, when they have these trips so that you can go and participate and share the gospel, we should say, absolutely, we want to be a part of that because God cares about that. But we should also be a part of what God's doing around us. And so here's a question for you. Can you name someone you are actively sharing the gospel with right now? Is there someone in your life you are actively sharing the gospel with? Because someone who's on that path of a disciple, they want somebody else to join them on that path because they understand what they have in Jesus. So can you name somebody that you are actively engaged in sharing the gospel with? And the last thing I want to talk about is the path of the disciple is worth it. And I know that it's worth it because Jesus says that this path leads to life. It leads to life. And because it leads to life, it's worth it. And so there's three things I want to say real quick. Why is it worth it? The first reason why it's worth it is because we become mature believers. So everybody wants to grow in their faith, right? We hear that all the time. Like, how do I grow in my faith? How do I grow in my faith? I believe you grow in your faith by staying on the path of the disciple, by obeying and serving and following Jesus. I believe you grow through obedience. I think Bible studies are great, and I think all these things are awesome and fantastic, but until you put what you have learned into action, you won't grow. Growth comes from actually doing. And so as we live our life on this path of a disciple, we grow and we mature in our faith. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever grown in your faith when you weren't walking on the path of the disciple? When you were walking on the path of the world, did you grow in your faith? Now, I think that God can use circumstances while you are walking on that path, but you're not going to grow and learn and mature until you repent of where you are and you learn from God and get back to where He wants you to be. You grow through obeying. Next thing is, I believe that others will join you. As you live the life of a disciple, others will join you. I wish that there was an awesome formula, like A plus B equals making disciples, right? Like, wouldn't that be awesome if we just had this, okay, this is how you make disciples. I believe, though, that God has given us a formula. It's through a life following the Son. He wouldn't have told us to do all these things and given us these commands to follow and then say, go and preach the gospel to all the nations if it didn't amount to something. He has called me and He's called you to live this life on this path in order to reach the nations, in order to reach your neighbor, in order to share the gospel with the people around you. And so as we stay on this path of a disciple, we make disciples. We make disciples by being disciples. We make disciples by following after Jesus. We make disciples by pursuing Jesus. And the third thing is, you really get to experience life. Why stay on this path? You stay on this path because this path is so much better. You know why this path is hard and you know why this path is difficult? It's because it matters. You guys like studying for test? No, you don't. Nobody likes studying for test. Sometimes it's difficult to do that. You know why it's difficult? Because it matters. Sometimes your marriage is difficult. You know why? Because it matters. Parenting is difficult. You know why? Because it matters. It matters. Things that are difficult are things that matter, right? And living life on this path is difficult because it matters. It matters to you. It matters to the world around you. But it also is so worth it. Parenting's awesome. My marriage is awesome. When it's done right. But when you go through those difficult things, man, life is so much better and so much worth it. Let me ask you a question. A lot of you guys have probably lived life on the other path, the path of the world. How'd that work out for you? Maybe that's you right now today. How's that working out for you? Is it fun? Is it enjoyable? Is there purpose? Is there joy? Is there peace? How's that working out for you? I know it's no good. It's no good. It leads to destruction. But Jesus has opened up a gate, and He's opened up a path that is so much better. So much better. Where we can have joy, and we can have purpose, and we can have peace. And as we're experiencing life and life abundantly, we are changed and the world around us is changed. We become mature disciples, and we make disciples. And we get to enjoy it. Man, God is so good. God is so good that He allows us to do that. So, this week, let's go and make disciples by being disciples who are following Jesus. And let's enjoy this life that God has given us, because this is where life truly happens. Father God, I thank You so much for today. I thank You for the men and women in this room, Lord. Thank You for the kids and the students. It's so awesome to see Your church coming together and being the body of Christ, so many different ages, and just a beautiful thing. And Father, we know that we are all on the same path, being transformed from one degree of glory into the other because we're beholding You, we're seeing how great You are. And so, Father, I pray as a church that we would love each other well and encourage each other, and we could spur each other on to stay on this path of the disciple. We can help each other grow. We can help each other mature. And as we're doing that, Lord, I pray that You would change us and You would change the people around us. Father, help us to love You well by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, we would really be able to go and experience this life that You have for us. Father God, we're so grateful for today. Grateful for a chance to serve You this week. Help us to do that well. It's in Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Wesley is going to be in the response room. If anybody would like to talk with him, members of the deacon staff, we'd love to meet with you, pray with you, talk about what God's doing. Let's stand and sing a closing chorus together.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.